Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Beyond Sleep Training Podcast, a podcast dedicated to sharing real tales of how people have managed sleep in their family outside of sleep training culture. Because sleep looks different with a baby in the house. And because every family is different, there is no one-size-fits-all approach to take. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is being recorded, the Kalkadoon people. I pay my respects to the elders of this nation and the many other nations our guests reside in, from the past, present and emerging. We honour Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and the unique cultural and spiritual relationships to the land, water and seas, as well as their rich contributions to society, including the birthing and nurturing of children. Welcome back to the Beyond Sleep Training Podcast. I'm your host, Carly Grubb, and with me again this week is my neighbour, Therese Collings, who's coming along for a second episode with us so we can hear a bit more about her sleep journey with her second baby, and also discussing a bit about what it's like having teenagers in the house, because we've talked with people who've got preschoolers and school-aged kids, but we haven't had a guest on yet who's really had a bit of a chat about how sleep looks when you've got teenage kids. So in case that's of interest for people looking way down the track for most of our listeners. So welcome back to the show, Therese.
Thank you.
And where we left off, we were just talking about how you really had a very relaxed and realistic view of going into sleep with your second babe.
Yeah.
You weren't thinking it was going to be peachy, but you were also not stressed about what was ahead of you.
Yeah.
How did it actually turn out when she arrived?
Yeah, so she was a much calmer baby, except we adjusted how we were. So our first babe went straight to cot. We didn't do bassinet, didn't do any of that. Our second babe, we decided, no, like, we're going to have a bassinet. And I was like, I feel like that might help with feeding. It might help with everything. So I didn't really base how we approached it on any specific like theory or what people had said. It was just more like, I'm feeling like I want this. And she was a very worrying sleeper because she'd always snuggle into the side of the bassinet. So I was forever moving her.
Yeah.
So like,
and these little movers and groovers, they give you stress levels when they're newbies.
Still is. She headbutts the wall over that time now. So it's like she's forever moving.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
she'll like spin herself 180 and go like bury herself under a blanket. Like, she's
actually, Sylvie was like that because she learned to roll herself so early, but she could only roll one way.
Yeah.
The relief I felt when she could flip herself back over, I was like, because you just wake up, and she was so tiny.
Yeah.
But oof, and she would do the flips so quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No, you're right. She's, definitely a mover groover. And we started using like sleep suits and stuff. Didn't do any of that with our first one. Yeah, with the second one, we decided we'd invest in those love to dream swaddles and stuff, because it wasn't until our first one was a bit older that, because none of my friends had babies.
Mm.
Like, I'd not been around babies for like years.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, like, what's all this new stuff? And like, there's so much out there now.
Yeah, too much.
Just, but yes. Yeah, so much. And so I went, oh, like, okay, like, you can actually get these little suits for sleep, and like, maybe that would stop the effect of startling. Mm. Like, and so I was like, I'm going to try it, like, because I don't want to do belly sleeping.
Yeah.
And then she started rolling in the bassinet, and I went, now your arms are stuck in this suit, and you're rolling. I was like,
this is a nightmare. That was my girl too. I had that real problem. I had to take her out of those suits so quick, because she was so determined to roll.
Yeah, I moved her to one where the arms were free, because I was like, at least then you can use your arms. Yeah.
And she did. Yours like a little, mine was like a little turtle, like she from really new, she could push up.
Yeah.
Because she was crawling at 4 months, but she was just so strong in her.
Yeah. Mm. So I would like watch her so much of a nighttime, and I was like, God, I'm glad you're right next to the bed, because I can lay here and like watch you without getting too exhausted, because like I'm resting.
Yeah.
So.
And I think too, because it's some of it, like, I don't know, like you get like an anxiety about it, but it's almost like a warranted anxiety, because you know that it is a risk, but at the same time, what are you going to do? So keeping her close, being able to monitor her, that was a great safety mechanism, because you can imagine
it was
if she was away from you.
Oh, if she was in a whole nother room, I don't think I'd sleep.
No.
I'd rather be like checking and I feel like my anxiety around that side of stuff was higher with the second one than what it was with our first. Well,
do you think it was awareness of...
I think it was just more like with our first, I wasn't so, like, I just wasn't worried about it, because I was like, oh, well, like, babies are like, you know, they're mini primates. They know what to do.
Mm.
Like, we don't have to worry too much.
Meanwhile.
Yes. Second one, I was like, okay, let's, you know.
Try a few things and see what you can do.
Let's rejig this.
Yeah.
And, like, she predominantly slept for like 6 odd hours from the time she was put down. Like her second night at home, so much calmer.
Wow.
So much calmer. There was, I think it was like the fourth night where she was a little bit unsettled, and then I was like, oh, you know what, I'm going to try this white noise thing that everyone talks about, because I was like, I hate doing this stuff. Because then like the people's comments of don't get them used to that, they're gonna always, I started going, oh no, like if I do it now, like am I
gonna be doing it forever?
So I really questioned it, and then I was like, oh, I don't have a white noise machine, because I wasn't doing this, like this is not what I was doing. So I literally YouTube, like put my phone screen down really low, like so it wasn't bright and everything, and that was the one thing where she would then settle for 4 odd hours, and then she woke again, and I kind of like, I had this sort of like, why are you sleeping? How you know them? And I went, oh, it's just one night, Therese. Like, seriously, get over it. And I was like, oh, pick you up.
Every night is different. Comfort. Yeah.
But I was like, oh, like in that moment, instead of being like, no, and like getting really stressed and like I'm doing something wrong or something's not right, or like, you know, I just went, oh, okay, like you just want cuddles. Like something's going on.
Yeah, you stop questioning. Like
you just
so
let
hard.
Go.
There's a lot of energy goes into that questioning and problem solving, whereas if you just go, she's awake. Yeah. Let's go have a cuddle and
this
get on with
doing.
It.
We'll be right.
And so how is feeding going through that time then for you?
Really good. Like the first, she was about 3 months old when we hit our first speed bump, and it was more, she just wanted, like she wanted more and more and more and more and more, and she was really unsettled for a couple of days, and I went, what is going on? And because at first I was like, oh, okay, like you're cluster feeding, like you've
helping
like
a supply.
I was like, that's fine, like I can work with this. And then I went through the first night and I was like, okay, like not unusual, like a day and night, like that's fine. And then the next day, and I was like, I feel like I've got nothing left.
Nothing's
for
happening.
You like I don't know if you're doing it to try and boost supply, but my supply is not boosting, like I'm not responding.
Yeah, you can feel the
so
difference.
I was like, oh, what do I do?
Yeah.
So we ended up buying formula as a backup.
Yeah.
And then Yeah, like my supply had dipped a bit, but what she was trying to do to boost it wasn't working.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you need sleep. I need to be able to boost my supply. Like, how are we going to do this? So we patchwork fed for, I think it was like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
So I think she ended up having maybe like one full formula bottle across that time. It was something very minor because I was like, is that all she had? Like,
yeah,
so in my head, I was like, you were thinking she's starving. So much. Yeah. Like, yeah. And then I got onto a recipe for lactation cookies and all that type of stuff. And I was like, okay, like, I'm going to try these things that I didn't really have that opportunity to try with Cora. So I was like, no, I'm going to try it this time. Like, I'm going to, you know, instead of just going, oh, well, that's that. Like, you know,
yeah.
I was like,
it was important to you to try these things. Yeah.
And then after she'd feed from me and if she went down for sleep, like if she was still looking for more, Ross would give her the bottle while I then pumped, because I'm like, I'm just going to see if I can actually get any more after she's pulled away. And then Cora would come and sit with me and she'd hold the pump and she'd be like, helping.
Oh,
and
darling.
I was like, oh, okay, you can do helping. And like she'd press the buttons on the pump and she'd do all that. And that was her little thing. And like at first I was kind of like, no, don't touch. And I was like, no, actually, like, yeah, you can help like through this way. And then Russ was like, oh, like, we haven't been involving her as much as what we could. I was like, no, we haven't. I was like, okay,
here we go. She was interested. Yeah. So
and
good.
So then from there, she became the real, like, you know, you need to, baby's crying, mom. Like, you know, there's literally a photo of her pointing at MRI on the lounge with MRI crying. And she's like frowning at me like,
come on, mom.
What is this?
Baby needs help.
Hello. And I was like, oh, stop.
So cute.
So, like, yeah, then we really involved her. And then she became, like, she would sit next to me on the lounge and she would, like, hold there while I was feeding. And she's like, are you feeding baby? I'm like, I'm feeding baby. And she's like, I feed my baby. And then, like, she'd try and feed her baby and things like that. And I was like, oh, like.
It's really beautiful, isn't it, watching our bigger ones? It's
more relaxing than what it ever has been.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, my supply came back and managed to feed her through to when she went to daycare, because my thing was like, I was like, I can't express, like, I could get next to nothing when I did pump. So I was like, I'm not going to try and express for daycare, because I was going back to work full time. I was like, I get one break.
Yeah.
In the day, like, it's not enough to feed her.
Yeah.
So I just went, oh, well, we'll transition out a bottle. And that way then, like, come then, she was 12 months. So we just
slowly, you did so well.
Yeah, 10 weeks to 12 months.
Oh, Therese.
Bit of a difference.
That's epic.
So then, we transitioned her slowly over to the watered-down cow's milk, because everyone's like, oh, don't just give it to them straight, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, should we look into, like, an alternate milk? And Ross was like,
if you're going to feed, it's what's in your family diet, isn't it? Because I think that's, people question that, and mostly what's going to be in your family diet.
I've been vegan before, so we've had soy milk, we've had, like, you know, all these different milks. So we were like, oh, do we just do cow's milk? Like, are we that family that buys like half a trolley of milk now? Like, is that what we're doing? So we kind of went, oh, okay. And like Cora was having her milk bottles, and so then I kind of went, oh, like, you know, maybe they'll just watch each other and
work it out.
That's
because you can do sippy cups and things too from 1 to 12 months, can't you? You don't need to even necessarily go
bottle. No. Yeah. So now they have sippy cups because they like to have a bottle of a night time.
Ah.
That's a.
How's the teeth? You have to do that. Do they let you brush them afterwards? Yes.
Yeah. So. Most of the time. So they'll brush their teeth of a morning, of a night, like after dinner. So they go for their bath and brush their teeth. And then, pending how they're going, if they fall asleep while they're having the bottle, I'm like, oh.
It's a tough one then, isn't it? Yeah. Messing with a sleeping baby. Who wants to do that?
Yes, exactly. But yeah, that's a whole nother.
Yeah. There's always something.
Just, yeah. And then the dummies, because anyway.
Dummies are a challenge. I only had one guy who took a dummy, and it was, he ended up giving it up easy enough when he decided it. But he decided it was time, like, he was, but still then him trying to figure out how to calm down to sleep.
Yeah.
Whew, it's hard work for them.
Yeah.
So it's like another.
It was, yeah. Like, we had Cora putting dummies out for the dummy fairy, and then the dummy fairy would leave a book like at the front door. So we would normally do it like when we were going out.
Yeah.
So like one of us would put the kids in the car and then the other one would do the slopperoo and chuck the dummies. And that was working. And then she realized MRI still had a dummy.
Oh, it's tricky being so she's like, the little one. Hey.
You don't just get a dummy and we'll keep taking her dummy.
Oh, and you're like, she's dying. Like,
And so that came into the challenge and, like, they'll go, both of them go all day at daycare without a dummy.
Mm.
They don't even look for it, don't ask for it, don't anything. Come home, the second they get in the car, where's my dummy?
Mm.
And I'm like, we don't need a dummy. We're in the car.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need a dummy. We're good.
It's such and a like, comfort pattern, yeah, though, isn't it, for just, them?
Yeah. And, like, Ross gets really annoyed at the dummies because he's like, they don't need them. I'm like, I know they don't need them.
But they help to them us, still.
But for them, they're like, I need the dummy.
Yeah.
And so now, like, we, if they're doing something, eating at the table, anything like that, we're always, like, dummies up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we do something, take your dummy out, and they'll take it out. Like, they don't even suck on them anymore.
They're just there.
They just sit there.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I've heard that for lots of people, and I think, like, the, you know, trying to go gradually like you guys are, just it's got to be the gentlest way
and
for
then
we're
going to introduce another one. And
yeah, but that's it. Even it is different because you've got that slightly bigger age gap this time. It does help because they're kind of in a different realm.
Yeah.
Like, I know our guys with the third babe, they were very understanding of the baby. Like, they got the difference. It's not always easy when they're so close together because they're both babies. So it's a bit tricky.
We're hoping that they're a little bit more understanding of that's baby. That's for baby.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, see how that goes because it's always, like we said, though, there's always something because I know, like, you know, so like my other two never had dummies, so we never had to do the dummy weaning stuff, but we, you know, with my other two, there was still stages and things where they found sleep really hard that I probably skipped over with my first go because the dummy helped, and I just didn't have that with them. So I don't think there's like any one option for you where you're going to avoid rough times with your little.
Cora didn't take a dummy until she was 3 months old, and that was because she started teething at 3 months.
No,
so she like identified it as like a soother, and that was the first time that we'd given it to her and she'd kept it because when we first identified she was colicky, we kept giving the dummy to try and soothe her by thinking maybe you just need to suck, like we don't know what's going on for you. And she would always spit it out and just not want it. And so we were like, okay, no worries. And then my, you know, process of elimination. And then one afternoon I gave it to her when I was undressing her for bath and she kept it in her mouth the whole time getting undressed, carrying to the bath, going for bath, getting out of the bath, getting after bath, like, and she would not let it go. And I was like,
okay,
all right, we take a dummy now. And then it was here and there after that. And it wasn't until she was about the 10, 11 month old mark that she started going, I want my dummy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I should have just gotten rid of them.
When you weren't so fast.
And then
yeah,
I was like, I missed it. Like,
yeah, it's true.
So, yeah, and now she'll still like hold it in her mouth, and we're kind of like, you know, you're a big girl now. Like, we don't need dummies. Like, you know, and she'll take like six dummies to bed with her. She'll use one.
Yeah, yeah, but she's got her collection, six,
and she puts them next to a pillow, and we're kind of like, oh.
Oh man, I love 3-year-olds. I've got a 3. They are just hilarious. Like, I feel like it's just
she
that.
Does some funny things.
Yeah, it's but, the best.
But yeah, like with Amariah, like she didn't take a dummy either. Like, we didn't use dummy for soothing. Like, she would feed to sleep, so I would feed her to sleep whilst patting Cora. So I would literally sit on the end of Cora's bed, patting Cora, and like breastfeeding Amariah to sleep, and then. Yeah, like she'd fall off to sleep feeding, and then I'd pack Cora off to sleep and then go put MRI down in the bassinet. So then we started doing it like transition for day naps in the cot to see how she'd go. Because I was like, I'm okay if like the day sleep's disrupted a bit.
Yeah.
Like, we can manage that. Because then she'll fall back asleep on me. Like, you know, it's easy enough to manage in amongst Cora, like chuck her in the baby where she can still get a decent sleep.
Yeah.
Nighttime sleep. Like, she was sleeping the 6-7 hours chunk at the beginning. I was like, I don't want to disrupt
don't want to her mess
decent
with that.
Sleep. Like, yeah. That's, you know, her good chunk of sleep. And so we did that way, and she transitioned quite
fine.
Yeah, it was literally like a few days and She was like,
you sound like you got so lucky that you were able to like get them off to sleep and put them down. Cause I, like, I didn't.
Not all the time.
Okay. I was gonna say, cause
not every time.
Cause I definitely didn't have transferable babies. No, that's for sure.
Not every time. Sometimes it would be like, you know, I'd be sitting in with Cora for like an hour, hour and a half to get her off to sleep.
Yeah.
Cause she was just, she still is. Sometimes she'll take, you know, the hour and a half to go off to sleep.
Yeah.
Depending if she's had a nap or just rested at daycare, and
3-year-olds and naps,
that, yeah, all that type of stuff. So it's an ongoing thing, but it's just one of those things that's a little bit messy and takes a bit longer sometimes. And so that's normally when, like, I'll chuck an AirPod in and listen to podcasts, because I'm like, what else do you do?
Yeah,
when you're patting a babe off to sleep. Like, I can still hear you. I'm here. I'm comforting. I'm still present, but also zoning.
And I'm not going to lose my crap because I've got something else I can focus on for now.
Exactly. And so then, I'd pat her off to sleep. And if it took quite a while and MRI would like go off quite quickly, then when I would go to move her, sometimes she would go like, oh, like you're putting me down.
Mm.
And then she'd have another feed because she hadn't had a decent feed.
So she might not have been done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there were nights where, like, she could wake, like, an hour or two after being put down.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, most times, I'd say, like, 90% of the time she'd go down fine. But,
yeah. Amazing.
Like, she is.
You lucked out, by the way. Yeah. Can I just, like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. To everybody listening along. But,
yeah, I know. They are pretty good sleepers.
Yeah, and I think, but it's really good for people listening along to know, like, you've fed them to sleep, you've helped your babes off to sleep the entire time, and they can sleep these big long chunks, because that's, like, I think some people really get it in their head that if you do those things, they're going to wake, because you've got your dependent sleep associations that people love to go on about.
No.
It just doesn't work like that.
No.
They sleep, like, for as long as they can sleep.
Exactly.
And,
like, now Cora wakes during the night. And then she just walks straight in and stands at the side of bed where I am, and she'll just wait.
Like, Mom, I'm going to need you.
And then I'm like, okay, I need you to climb up because Mommy cannot lift you right
now. Yeah.
And so then, like, she'll climb up, and then she just snuggles on in, and that's it. Like, she's back asleep within 10 seconds.
Sounds like my 3-year-old, you know, just needs that closeness.
Yeah.
I don't know, too, like, for my person, she's got a lot of time away from us at the moment to start a kindy and doing all those things. So I feel like she's gotten even more intense with her need to come in for extra cuddles at night because she's got so much time away, like a reconnection. Cora
started liking to watch videos. So she likes to watch them on like a tablet or something. Yeah. And so then of an afternoon where she would normally come for cuddles, she's now watching videos. And so I'm like, all right, like, I feel like
you've just swapped some of that out a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. You've shifted where you're getting it from.
But and it's like different with third baby coming and whatnot, too. Like, it's kind of their needs remain, even though you are now split even more.
Yeah.
And I think that's like part of the adjustment when you welcome a new person. Cause I think you sometimes then expect more from your toddlers.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, they're still that same little person. They look huge when you've got a newborn, huge.
And you feel like you should be past this.
But really they're not. And I think it's like such an important one to keep pulling yourself back on, to realize that actually they're still really small and trying to work with them, because it's a big shift for them too, isn't it? And she'll know for sure that there's, you know, new human. She's been there, done this before.
Yeah, no, she sits in the car because she's in the middle next to both, because she's the one that you can say, like, gentle hands and understands gentle hands.
Yeah.
Whereas the other
ones. Oh, the car seat placements.
We had that. The amount of stuff that goes into
this. Yes.
And we put his seat in, and she goes, Mum, you put his seat in, but you haven't put him in yet. And I'm like, no, because he's not born yet.
He's still tucked.
And then she's like, well, you need to get him out of your belly. And I was like, I know.
She's ready to meet him.
So, yeah, she's kind of like, where is he? Like, every afternoon, where's the baby, Mum? Still in Mum's belly.
Well, not for much longer, Cora. We're all excited to hear soon.
We just have to wait.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, oh, like, you know, this is ridiculous. It's like, yeah, I know.
I'm just thinking, because I just looked at the time, we're nearly at the end of our second episode. But before we do that, you have a teenager in your house.
We do.
How does teenage sleep look?
So he struggles with the early wakes from the younger ones.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he would normally have, like, he would go to bed really, really late and then
wake up. Wants to sleep in.
Yeah. Whereas he's gone through a bit of a shift. So when he was living with his mom, he could do that because there were no little kids in the house. Mm. So now he's had to shift all of that. And he's responded quite well to it in that he does go to bed earlier and that he does still struggle a bit to go off to sleep though.
Yeah.
So it's quite a different, like, he obviously doesn't need you to sit there and pat him off to sleep, but he does need those cues of like, okay, like, you know, you need to put the phone down.
Yeah.
We need to stop this now. We need to do this, like, you know, and try and work him through that.
Supporting his sleep hygiene.
Yeah. But it's also like, you're 14.
Yeah.
This is for you. Like,
yeah.
You know, to understand and to work through. And so we try and do it in a way that's not like, oh, you're always telling me off my phone.
Yeah.
You know, because then it becomes a different argument.
Yes.
And it's like, we're not saying it for that. We're saying
we're trying to help you get to sleep.
Yeah. Which he's actually quite receptive to. So that's good. But yeah, he'll generally sleep through, like, he gets himself up for school and everything come 6 o'clock.
That's awesome.
So, like,
because some teens really struggle with that get up for school time. Because I know they've talked about pushing high school later because a teen normally naturally sleeps that bit later. Yeah.
So he's started getting up, like, he kind of realized, oh, like, the girls are up come six, like, you know,
that's when the game's on in the south.
Yeah, like, you can't really sleep too much past there. On a weekend, though, he does manage to. And we're like, it's the weekend.
Oh, of course. Like, he's got to be able to have rest when he wants to rest as well.
We're not worried.
Yeah.
Because he'll be like, oh, do I have to be up in the morning? We're like, nah.
No.
Are you good? If anything, one of us will be home and the other one goes with the girls.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you're right. And, like, he'll get himself up, get himself ready for school, all the rest of it, comes home, does his thing and, like, generally takes himself off to bed come 9. Because, like, Ross is very stern on, like, 9:30 latest, your bedtime.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I know that you take a bit to get to sleep.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that by the time you're asleep,
it's not
getting enough sleep.
Yeah, fair call.
So
does he feel better when he's had enough? Like, does he notice the feeling of when he hasn't had enough sleep?
Yeah, he kind of goes, oh, I didn't sleep very well last night. And, you know, we kind of go, oh, like, how do you know that? Like, what happened? And he's like, oh, I work at this time and then I work at this time and then I work at this time. And
still waking at night.
Yeah.
Just doesn't mean, you know, a cuddle with mum and dad anymore.
Exactly.
Does he, like, I'm curious to know though, because, you know, lots goes on in teen brains and whatnot. Does he sometimes need to, like, download what's worrying him before bed?
We said to him, like, oh, are you worried about anything? Like, did something happen at school that day? Or, like, you know, what do you kind of wake up? Like, are you thinking about something or, like, what's kind of happening? And he'll be like, oh, I thought about, like, what I was meant to do in this class or, like, you know, I remembered that I didn't do this. And, like, so Ross has gotten him into the habit of because with the boys, like, I very much go, like, Ross is the main parent there.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm side, but you're the main one there. And so he's like, oh, like, here's a notebook, here's a pen. That's your diary. Put that next to your bed. If you wake during the night and you're thinking of stuff, write it down.
Yeah.
So he's tried to kind of, like, get him to a point of it's okay that you're waking because you're worried about it, but it's in, like, what happens after that?
Yes.
Like, how can we manage after that?
Yeah.
And so he's kind of gone, oh, okay. And, like, on the weekend stuff was worrying him, so he decided, I'm like, Dad, I'm going to write in my book, like, I need to get stuff out. And Ross was like, okay.
Good all work. Right.
And he's like, he actually listens.
Studio's like, oh, like, that's a high five moment with a teen in the house. Surely.
It was already like, I'm out, man. But Russ was like, actually listens.
Of course
he listens.
Yeah, it's like, so good though, because it's not being done in a threatening manner. Like, it's just a, like, you know, these are some tools.
Mm.
You don't have to use it, but you might find it helpful.
Yeah, like Ross goes, you know, do you pull up notes on your phone? He's like, I don't know how you kids, like, you know, use your phones for this side of things.
Yeah.
And he's like, sometimes, like, yeah, you can write notes and stuff and all that. And Ross is like, okay, like, do you do, like, journal or, like, you don't, or, like, you know, where are you at? And Riley would be like, nobody journals, Dad.
Actually, lots of people like, do.
Yeah, they do.
But they're not going to tell you about it.
Exactly. And that's what we said to him. We're like, you know, it's okay if you do. Like, the whole point of a journal is for yourself and it's a way of getting
things down. You don't need to discuss it with anyone.
Yeah. Exactly. And like Ross just said to him, you know, if that is your way of doing it, like if you do wake at night, he's like, it's not great to have your phone
lights
on, you know, hence the paper and pen. So
yeah.
That you're not having like this bright light. And he's like, well, I still open my phone so I can see the paper and pen. And Ross was like, yeah, well, fair point. Like,
yeah.
So, but like he's very open to that side of things. I think if you had like a teenager that wasn't though, to manage, like,
I guess that'd be the thing, isn't it? You'd be adjusting, like, to
it's a little bit
the person you got again.
Exactly. Like, growing up, my sister would sleep all the time, whereas I was up early, going for a run home, like, you know, like we'd go to sleep at the same time.
But bodies are so different, like, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a very sleepy person, which is interesting being the person I am. But I actually need way more sleep than most adults. Like I'm above average in terms of sleep that I actually need.
Yeah.
And I've always been like that. So as a teenager, I was shocking to get places.
Yeah.
But I wasn't doing anything wrong. Like I was just doing what my body needed.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the thing once again, like if your teen is a really long sleeper or that is still teens who don't need much sleep as well. If they're functioning well, you're not seeing like that tiredness in them. Yeah. They might actually be all right as well. Yeah. So you can adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, I'm just looking at our time and we are maxed out to the max, but I'm so glad we got the teen conversation in. And we're very excited to be welcoming third baby Collins any day now. Hopefully. But thank you so much for coming on the show. And we got a unique perspective there. What a comeback for a breastfeeding journey too for second babe. Well done you.
Very different.
Very different with also just different mindset to go with, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And appreciate the take on team sleep. We haven't had that one before. So thank you.
Oh, good.
I really hope you enjoyed the podcast today. The information we discussed was just that, information only. It is not specific advice. If you take any action following something you've heard from our show today, it is important to make sure you get professional advice about your unique situation before you proceed, whether that advice be legal, financial, accounting, medical, or any other advice. Please reach out to me if you do have any questions or if there's a topic you'd really like us to be covering. And if you know somebody who'd really benefit from listening to our podcast, please be sure to pass our name along. Also, check out our free peer support group, the Beyond Sleep Training Project, and our wonderful website, www.littlesparklers.org. If you'd like even more from the show, you can join us as a patron on Patreon, and you can find a link for that in our show notes. If listening's not really your jam, we also make sure we put full episode transcripts on our Little Sparklers website for you to also enjoy, and fully captioned YouTube videos as well on our Little Sparklers channel. So thanks again for listening today. We really enjoy bringing this podcast to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.